And so back in the pre-Excelsior generation, if you wanted to walk out of Tomo with a college degree, so you had to do it your own way. There was no official setup in the yeshiva, you know, to get college credits or anything like that. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva set me up with a place called Empire State College, which is a branch of SUNY of State University of New York. They had an office down on Rehov George Washington, Rehov Abraham Lincoln, in the middle of town. And I had to go down there and sit with a bunch of people and put together some kind of a course load so that at the end of my 3 years of Tomos, I would be able to walk out with a college degree. A very interesting experience because aside from the chaburas that I had to write and the Musar Vadim that I had to write up, which was a very, very good learning experience, along with what it got me, there were other things that I had to do also. So, for instance, I had to take a course in writing, I had to take a course in psychology, and some of the people that I met there were Api Kursim with a capital A, who really didn't like Yeshiva Bacharim very much, or maybe it was just personal, maybe they just didn't like me, I don't know. But one of the professors that I did get along with, a very interesting person, he was a Ger Tzedek, either from Wales or from Ireland or Scotland, you know, one of those places, spoke English very funny. And I took a course with him in business management. At that time, my career path was that I was going to go into the Rabbanah somewhere in the United States and thought that it would be very good to have some kind of training in business management or some kind of management because that comes up. And the book that we studied together, one of the major topics was about delegation. You know, that if you have a job done and the job is too big, so then you have to give it to other people as well. It's a davar pashut in life. There's just so much that one person can do on his own. I mean, no matter how brilliant and talented you are, you're still only one person. So if you want to do something really big, like send someone to the moon, or, you know, start Amazon, or something like that, right? You can't do it on your own. You have to employ other people, and whereas you're one person, so if you employ the right people, soon one becomes 10, and 10 becomes 100, and 100 becomes 1,000, until you get, you know, to millions. There's power in numbers, and there's power in delegation, and you got to know how to do it and do it right. Now, in the Torah, if you want to find the place where we find the power of delegation, so that's this week's parsha. That's the parsha of Yisroi. Yisroi enters the Torah because of a lot of things, but one of the things that we remember Yisroi for is because of the parsha of Atotechazeh, that he lightens the burden of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't become one person. Moshe Rabbeinu ends up having Sari Alafim and Sari Meis. And that's one major thing that we learn from Yisroi. But there's a Musar Haskel over here in what happens with Yisroi and how he views the whole situation with Moshe Rabbeinu, brought out by the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh and his different parts of his Pirush on the Torah. So he has one part which is specifically about Musar. Derech Chaim Techachas Musar, that's what he calls it. And he has a very powerful word over here about Yisroi, about how Yisroi scanned the scene that we can learn a lot about different things from. So I'd like to go through that with you today and just analyze exactly what happened there with Yisroi and Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayishma Yisroi kain mishkun kain midyan chaysen Moshe is kol asher osa lekim l'moshel Yisroel Amon. Yisroi is a shomea. Yisroi hears. Yisroi heard the news. He listened to the news and he understood the news in a way that nobody else did. He was the one person in the universe who came. He heard about Melchemes Amalek. He heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. And he got up and he did something about it. So that's one thing that we remember Yisroi for, is that Yisroi was the ultimate Shemeya. He spent a career of trying to figure out what the truth was, study every Avodah Zarah in the world, and when he saw truth, so he recognized it and he changed his life. But the second thing, like we said, what we remember Yisroi for, is Yisroi is the one who was bold enough to say to his great son-in-law, Meshulah, it seems like you're making a mistake over here. But what's interesting and confusing, says the Shulchan Kaddish, is what exactly was the mistake? So the Torah tells us, and it's right there in the first pin, the first parak in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayar Chaysein Moshe Esa Shehua Haya Esa La'am. He sees what Moshe is doing, how he's judging everybody. Vayomer, and he says, Ma Dover Azeh Asher Ata Esa La'am. How are you judging these people? Why are you sitting by yourself? And everyone is standing on top of you from the morning until the night. What was the problem? So Rashi tells us, it's actually in the previous pasuk, says the Shlah. What was the problem? So Rashi says, Vayeshev Vayoshev Moshe Vayamara Am. Yeshev kimelech v'chulam aimdim. Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there like a king, and everyone is hocking over Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody is coming and trying to get a piece of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hukshah adover liYisrael, and Yisrael didn't think that it was so nice. Shoyim mezalzel b'chvedim shol Yisrael. V'yichichu al kach. He says, a zilzel to klal Yisrael. Who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu? You're sitting there in your seat, and everyone is lording, everyone's hanging over you, trying to get a piece of you. It's a zilzul to klal Yisrael. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, Madua ata yeshe lo adecha v'kula mitzavim. See, Yisrael's taina on Moshe Rabbeinu is it's not right to the people. You're cheapening the people by having everybody swarm over you. You have this one person, this melech in the middle, and everyone is hanging over you like to zilzul to klal Yisrael. What's the problem? The problem is, says the Shulchan Kaddish, is that at the end of the parsha, when you get to Yud Zayin Yud Ches, it doesn't quite say that. Yud Zayin Yud Ches, pasuk says, Vayomer Chayson Moshe Loi Toiv Adover Asher Ataisa. It's not good what you're doing. Why? Novel Tibor Gamato Gamomaze. You're going to wear out. You and the people. Asher Imach. Gikoved Mimcha Adover Leitucha Lasol Vadecha. You need some help. You need to delegate. So wait a second. Which one is it? If you're worrying about Moshe Rabbeinu wearing out, if you're worrying that he's going to wither, so let him sit and let everybody run after him. After all, he's the judge. Let everybody else do the work. That's what he says at the end. We're afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu wearing out. But that's not what it was in the beginning. In the beginning, he has tainas on Moshe Rabbeinu. What are you sitting in your seat? And everybody has to run. Everybody has to run and hang over you. It's zilzul of Klal Yisrael. So Shulchan Kaddish says, L'chara, it's a stira. But he answers the stira by saying that when Yisrael came, he came with a lot of baggage. He came from Midian, where things were a certain way, and he assumed that that's the way that it was in the Midbar with Moshe Rabbeinu as well. He stuck around a little bit, and he realized that things were not quite what he imagined them to be in the beginning. And once he realized what things really were, so then there was another message over here. There was Novel Tibol. And Novel Tibol has a very specific message. He understood things differently. So there are two points over here that the Shulchan brings out. Number one is don't make a snap judgment. The things are not always the way that you think that they are in the beginning, and the scene changed. He understood much differently at the end what was going on with Moshe Rabbeinu. But number two is, and this is the mussar that he takes out of it, is that when you judge a Moshe Rabbeinu and when you see everybody coming over and running over to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a point that you can learn from that, And that's the point that each one of us has to take in our Avodas Hashem, as we'll soon see. I mentioned in the shiur earlier in the week that in the beginning of the week, L'kol HaBrachos, a very frightening week. Very, very frightening week. On Sunday, it was a day of levayas. It was a day of Rav David Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha's levaya, a person who I've spoken many times about in this Chumash Shir, in terms of just, the person, the experience of having him here in Yeshiva when he was here a number of times. And then after that, Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner, Baruch Ber's grandson by marriage, two major people, the Brisker Messiah, going back to Rav Chaim, Rav Baruch Ber. Later on in the day, I got home, I was told also that Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky, the famous, call him the scion of a Hasidic dynasty, Rebbe in his own right, a Talmud Chacham and a major psychologist, wrote many, many books and whatever, made a lot of people happy and helped a lot of people. He was nifta that day also. This scary thing. The difference between the people. Think of Rabbi Twersky, Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Always think about, the books, they always put a smile on your face. There was always a quip and a smile and some wisdom. You think about the Briskers, you think about even Rabbi Baruch Ber, it's a different type of an image. Rabbi David, I got him that, the time he was here, I will talk about the gleam in his eye. But the Briskers are tough people. I remember once we was at a bar, the yeshiva bar, and there was somebody who got up to speak, and the yeshiva really did not appreciate it. What's the difference between brisk and or sameach? The or sameach is makariv rechaikim, and brisk is known to be merachik kroivim. And then when the Rosh Yeshiva got up to speak, he says, now after just having been called a Merachik Krovim, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say over here. They're tough people. You come over and you ask a question, you better be sure that you know what you're talking about. Rabbi Baruch Ber was known as, he was known as a sweet person, but Rabbi Baruch Ber, also, they say about particularly Hasidic Rebbe, who, when he was in town, he always used to go to hear Rav Baruch Ber say shir. Not because he appreciated the shir. He says, I'm not going because I appreciate the shir. He says, I'm going to hear Rav Baruch Ber say the Halakha Rashba. The way that he says the Halakha Rashba, that does something for me for the next week, the next year. There's a certain intensity there. There's a certain fire. And that goes together with serious Limud HaTorah. On a similar note, you'll see where I'm going with this. Over the last couple of weeks, also another one of the neighbors, an older man, I think he was in his 90s already. His name was Rabbi Dr. Meir Tamari. He's connected to Moshe Louis Newman from the yeshiva, Moshe Newman. He was a prize-winning economist, very, very smart person. I heard him darshan once. And he said during his drush, it was Parshas Kairach, he says, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu says to protect himself? The line that he says over there was, he says, Vayichal Moshe Miyoid, Vayomer El Hashem, Al Tefen El Menchasam, don't turn to Korach and his people. Why? Lo Chamor Echod Mehem Nososi. I didn't take anything from them. I never took any donkey. I never took anything. V'lo Ariyosi Esacha Mehem. The word that he wanted to say on this was that for a leader, for a Moshe Rabbeinu, for a manig of Klal Yisrael, it's a very, very rare thing to be able to say that nothing stuck to you. No covet stuck to you. No position stuck to you. I didn't even take a chamor. And this message of the manig of Klal Yisrael being a tough person and a person that nothing sticks to, this is what the Shlach HaKadosh brings out over here. And this is what he wants to say that Yisrael missed in the very beginning. Zok the Shlach HaKadosh, Yisrael comes from Midian. He comes and he sees his son-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, sitting all day. People are camped around him, people are swarming all around him, and everyone is standing on top of him. What was Yisrael's impression? Yisrael's impression is, hey, listen, you know, whatever, he's like any other rock star. He's like any other melech. It's too much. It's too much covet for one person. Why? Because that's the way that it's done in Midian. Everyone hangs around you, and you're sitting there. You know, give it a rest already. It's too much for one person. You're being mezalzel b'chvaydim shel Yisrael. He waits around a little bit and he realizes that, no, this is an altogether different thing. There are rules of Dayanus. The rules of Dayanus say that that the Dayan has to be a Yeshiv and all the other people, they have to be an Oymeid. They have to be standing on top of him. And more than that, that the rule of a Melech in Yisrael, the rule of a Manig in Yisrael, the rule of a Dayan in Yisrael, is totally fakert. Nothing's allowed to stick to you. There's no covet that you're supposed to get. And any covet, so that's a psul. The way that the Shlach HaKadosh says it, he says, and we see from here, that anybody who has any kind of position, any kind of srara, and he uses this to create a relationship where he gets covet from it, the big mistake. Ella, yeah, what does he say? Rak l'shem shemayim l'kayim atarva mitzvah. You got to do it because it's the right thing to do. V'yizroik mara b'talmidim. So be particularly charif, be particularly stark with the talmidim. Why? Because otherwise, hey, you know, you're getting nice warm relationships out of it. I don't know, it'll go over too well over here, if it will go over too well today. But from the old times, you can feel a little bit of it. There's that acid. They're tough people. Why? Because it's not your friend. It's not there for you to get a good feeling from. It's not good for you to milk so you get some benefit out of. And that's why at the end, after Yisrael saw what was really going on with Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, okay, Moshe, it wasn't what I thought. It's not the pshat that it's a zilzul in Yisrael. You're doing it because that's the way that it needs to be done. That's the halacha. But you're going to wear out. Novel tibo. You can't handle it. You have to delegate. And that's the end of the story. So number one, don't think what it is because you don't really know. And number two, and this is a lesson for life, is that any time a person does something in Avodas Hashem, make sure that you're not waiting for that chamor echad. Make sure that you're not waiting for that kickback. Because that's a psul. You're supposed to do it because it's right, not because it makes you feel good. The way that it works in life, I mean, we're human. Usually when we do something, so, you know, we expect that there's going to be at least some kind of appreciation for it. In the extreme case, you know, so you think, okay, so, you know, so I did good things or whatever it is. Okay, so it's Pashit, so now they're going to give me Mafter Yaina, you know, and they're going to give me Shlishi on Shabbos, you know, and if I'm a really Chashiv guy, so then they're going to make me go sit up a Mizrach Vant, you know, it's whatever. Feel good about myself. I honestly don't relate to that stuff very much, to tell you the truth. It's not my thing. I'd rather just, you know, sit in the closet somewhere and just not be the guy to get Mafter Yena. All the other people can have that stuff. But I think that what really talks to everybody is that if you did something good, you at least like to feel that somebody realized it. You like to feel appreciated. You like to feel that somebody say, okay, you know, whatever. They just give you a feeling, I realize that you did a good job. Zuck the Shlach HaKadosh, even that's an excess. The reason that you do something that's right, the reason that you serve Hashem, the reason that you're a dayan, the reason that you have that you serve at Tzibur, is one reason and one reason only: Rak l'shem shemayim l'kayim haTorah v'amitzvah. Because it's the right thing to do, and it's your obligation. Anybody who goes through, you know, expecting that. There's going to be some kind of extra payback afterwards, sure to be disappointed. The only reason that you do it is because of the fact that this is what you were created for. That's the message of the Shlach HaKadosh. That when it comes to Avodas Hashem, anybody who's looking for honor, anybody who's looking for kavod, sure to be disappointed. You're looking for appreciation, many times you'll be disappointed also. But if you're doing it because of the fact that that's your obligation, because that's what you're supposed to do, so then, Be'ez Hashem, you're always on the right track. It's a tough one. It's a Teichachas Musar, and it's very, very rough. It's almost a Kutzkervart. But the truth is the truth. And if you don't expect anything else, so then you're sure not to be disappointed. And that's what the Shlach HaKadosh tells in this week's Parsha. Number one, never assume that it is what you thought that it was in the beginning. And number two, is that when you're dealing with Avodas Hashem, so any side benefits are an excess, because that's not why you do it in the first place. Yeah, have a good Shabbos.